From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Though he has been dead for more than 390 years, William Shakespeare is still selling big. Over 1 million of his books are sold every year. There have been more than 600 film or television adaptations of his work, including animated versions. His likeness and his famous quotes are used to sell everything from Budweiser to luxury cars. If he were alive today, Shakespeare would probably be at the center of a multimedia empire. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has been asking around what a Shakespeare Incorporated might look like.
If Shakespeare were alive, he might be in real estate.
He was a capitalist. There's no doubt about that.
Longtime Shakespearean actor Patrick Stewart says Shakespeare made some money as a writer over the course of his career, but his real wealth seems to have come from owning shares in the Globe Theater, as well as a substantial amount of property. Shakespeare bought up large tracts of land when English property laws changed and common land converted to private ownership.
He was involved in enclosures, land enclosures, which, although very profitable for the wealthy men who were able to participate in these ventures, it was not good news for the ordinary townsperson. So for those of us who like to think of him as perhaps one of the world's great humanists, however, the picture is a little darker.
I see my reputation is at stake. My fame is shrewdly gored.
Oh, then beware. Those wounds heal ill that men do give themselves.
But Patrick Stewart says Shakespeare Incorporated would also make a lot of money from its namesake's writing. Today, Shakespeare's works are in the public domain, but were he alive, he'd be collecting thousands of dollars in royalties, just as Neil Simon does, from the hundreds of productions of his plays in the U.S. alone. One theater director in Denver, for example, said that his company's five-week run of Measure for Measure had ticket sales of $470,000. So Shakespeare's royalty would be about 10%, or $47,000. That's just one theater in a medium-sized market. Shakespeare's company would pay close attention to which shows were big hits. Michael Kahn is the artistic director of the Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C.
I don't know whether how many performances of Titus Andronicus or Henry VIII he'd be doing over the years. I hope he wouldn't, though. I hope he wouldn't keep putting on Romeo and Juliet. I hope he would actually let Coriolanus show up every once in a while.
What's the matter, you dissentious rogues? That rubbing the poor itch of your opinion make yourselves scabs.
We have ever your good word.
He that will give good words to thee will flatter beneath abhorring.
Then there's the publishing arm of Shakespeare Incorporated, which would sell several million books a year. Shakespeare titles sold more than 775,000 copies in the U.S. last year. Shakespeare is translated into over 100 languages, so publishing royalties would rake in at least $10 million a year. Like Stephen King, Shakespeare has spawned a cottage industry of film and television productions. They don't always make money, but a little like Woody Allen movies, they're seen as prestige opportunities for big stars, say Mel Gibson or Leonardo DiCaprio, to show their acting chops. Kenneth Branagh has completely immersed himself in the Shakespeare canon as an actor and director. If Shakespeare were alive, Branagh probably wouldn't have been nominated for an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for his unabridged version of Hamlet. Then again, the bard himself would be vulnerable to charges of plagiarism. Barbara Hodgson is author of The Shakespeare Trade.
Only three plays are plays without plots that he borrowed from somewhere else. So if he were writing in that way today, he would certainly need a team of lawyers to handle the lawsuits.
The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers!
They say there's nothing new on television. With his penchant for stealing ideas, maybe that would be Shakespeare's medium of choice. That's Gary Taylor's prediction. He's the author of Reinventing Shakespeare and a professor at Florida State University.
I used to tell my students that he'd probably be writing for The Sopranos because that's all about men and power struggles between men, which is Shakespeare's great subject. I now think that maybe he'd be writing instead for Deadwood.
Deadwood is HBO's popular Western, often described as Shakespearean in style.
Because he specializes in stories about the past and a sort of mythology of the past.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers, For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother.
But maybe Hollywood wouldn't go for Shakespeare at all.
If Shakespeare were alive, would we hire him? You know, it depends who represented him.
David Milch is the creator of Deadwood. He used to lecture on English literature at Yale. Milch says unless Shakespeare had a really powerful agent, he wouldn't even take his calls.
Mike Ovitz's calls, that's something I got to pay attention to. I could tell you something prettier, but that's the truth of it.
He'd also need an influential manager. Bernie Brillstein agreed to play along and pretend that Shakespeare was his client.
I never would have known Romeo and Juliet would have been a hit. So I would have just gotten him a publisher and not paid any attention to it. But then the reviews came in, and I started paying a lot of attention to him. And I said, do you have any other ideas? And he would say, how about The Merchant of Venice? And I would say, aha, a guy who sells bathing suit in Venice, California. That sounds very good for television.
Signor Antonio, many a time and oft in the Rialto, you have reviled me about my monies and my usances. Still, I have borne it with a patient shrug, for sufferance is the badge of all our tribe.
Shakespeare was a crowd pleaser and a shrewd businessman. He might be another Spielberg, running a company like DreamWorks, turning out romantic comedies and historical dramas. Shakespeare Incorporated would no doubt have a marketing division that would conduct focus groups, famously hostile to dark endings, a hallmark of Shakespeare's dramas. Michael Kahn hopes he wouldn't bend to the pressure and change his scripts.
I hope he wouldn't give up his artistic vision, have everybody live happily ever after. I know he wouldn't.
But Hollywood is pretty forceful when it comes to those happy endings. A few years ago, when Tim Blake Nelson directed a film adaptation of Shakespeare's Othello called O, the producers tried to get him to change the ending so that Desdemona lived.
I was able, because we were adapting a Shakespeare play, to say, fine, go ahead and change the ending and have her live, and I'll take my name off of it, and you'll be the ones who changed Shakespeare. And since we had that gorilla in the room, they weren't going to do that.
Forbes magazine once estimated, conservatively, that if there were a Shakespeare estate, it would earn about $15 million a year. If Shakespeare were alive and aggressively marketing his work, he'd be worth a lot more than that. So imagine him in his mansion in Connecticut, going over his portfolio, perhaps considering a takeover from Time Warner or the Weinstein Company. On the other hand, as Hollywood insider Bernie Brillstein put it, Shakespeare, he's too talented to be successful in today's market. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.